You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. And today's episode on Operation Radio Bug, or just this fill-in that I've booked for today, is, I guess, kind of going to be about escaping post-secondary music school.
Is it escaping?
Or, I don't know, I guess we're not escaping. I guess we're going deeper into the realm of music career.
Maybe we're transcending.
We're transcending UBC School of Music. No, but I have my friend Erica here today on the air. You made a playlist, which is great. And yeah, you also play the trumpet and you also play in Girls Nails.
I do.
Yeah. How did you start playing with Girls Nails?
Yeah. So Bailey and I know each other from going to classical music school together.
Oh, yeah. We're also like colleagues at the school.
Yeah. Obviously, we do much more than that, especially Bailey. But I started playing Girls Nails because a friend of mine, Jackson, he also did a saxophone degree. Fun fact.
Wait. At UBC?
Yeah.
Oh, like Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
So Jackson is the drummer for Girls Nails.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
This is blowing my mind right now.
This is crazy. We're all learning something tonight. So Jackson reached out to me in like my second year and asked if I wanted to play trumpet with the band.
Whoa.
I was super stoked on it. Now it's been like 3 years. I think we've rehearsed twice.
Whoa.
That whole time I've just been like showing up to gigs, and we've had another sax, Keelan. Big shout out to Keelan. He's been there since day one, and then kind of a rotating trombone. Nice. Right now it's my good friend Dana. So yeah.
Dana.
Yeah, it's been a real journey.
Wow, that's cool. I thought Jackson moved out of Vancouver.
I moved all the way to Surrey.
Oh. Well, cool. So yeah, that's Girls Nails. And you guys have played at Music Waste a bunch of times, apparently?
Apparently. We definitely did. Oh, what's the competition? Remind me what it's called.
Oh, Shindig?
Shindig.
Shindig here at the CITR, which will be happening again this November, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure it happens every November for like every Tuesday for the entire month of November. At least I was there every Tuesday for the month of November for last Shindig. But you guys played Shindig?
We played Shindig. I think it was 2020, but okay. I could be wrong. And yeah, I remember playing at Pat's Pub. It was immediately after a UBC bands concert. Like, immediately
awesome.
After Shindig
nice.
Finals.
Good vibes.
So, so we, like, finished playing our, like, epic wind band music. And then all of us, this is an embarrassing story, we all, like, piled into Jackson's mom's minivan.
Wow.
Went down to Pat's Pub. And played Shindig in like our formal concert
nice,
clothes.
Nice, in your concert blacks.
Yeah. The rest of the band met us there.
Whoa,
and they like they got
so
the memo.
Suave.
Yeah, they had like jackets.
Whoa.
And somehow we won.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. 2020 Shindig winners in on the air right now. We were talking about Men I Trust, I guess.
Yeah.
And this is your first time hearing Men I Trust. Am I correct?
You are correct.
So, yeah, Men I Trust, they're coming to Vancouver pretty soon. Why don't I just play, I'm just going to play a really quick Men I Trust PSA because they're here soon. May 4th, I'm pretty sure, is the concert. And yeah, CITR will be there covering the show. So if you are a fan of Men I Trust, tune in for the show review, I guess. And then we'll be back with some Erica's first time hearing Men I Trust. I think they're super cool. They've got like a jazz theme. Uncle
cool.
Jazz. It's one of my favorites. But yeah, we'll be back.
Men I Trust, live at the Orpheum on May 3rd. Don't miss the Montreal dream pop band as they bring their untourable album to Vancouver's most beautiful venue. Men I Trust, live at the Orpheum on May 3rd. Limited tickets remaining.
Show me how.
Sup, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. And we're jamming to Men I Trust right now. I'm here with Erica, and yeah, we're talking a bit about UBC. What have you been up to since you graduated? But you did a dual degree, so not just UBC School of Music, but business?
Sure did, yeah. Shameless plug for the the MM dual degree program.
Crazy.
No, yeah, it was super strange doing like a performing arts intense degree and then something like very businessy at the same
time. That's insane. I don't know how you did it. No, honestly, I literally was drowning.
Music is so much harder than business. Not to expose the business people, but
okay. It's like, and you did performance, yeah?
Yeah.
Because you have to like practice like all the time. So it's like, how do you have time to also do business? Because I know I'm so bad with my practice schedule.
Oh, same.
That's like, I feel like one of the hardest things, like the practice schedule.
For sure. I feel like music school, you teach yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. For any of our listeners out there who aren't currently in a music degree, I don't know how many of you that is, but the amount of time you spend practicing, like, that's all of it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's crazy too, like my lip will be like bleeding and I'm like, I can't stop. Oh.
It's like Whiplash.
Yeah, no, literally like true. That movie when it came out, I think I watched it in like my high school band class. We all watched it and I was like, haha, funny. And then I went to music school and I was like, oh, it's pretty accurate.
It's actually like that. Yeah.
But yeah, the classic, so, like the main, would it be the teacher, the music teacher? Is he the antagonist? Is he the like villain in the, yeah.
Whoever, I literally can't remember his name right now, but the angry bald guy.
Yeah.
That guy. That's all of my professors.
No, like it's not even, it's no joke.
But
like
they're also, they're complex, you know?
They're complex.
They're like supportive.
Yeah.
But also,
they just want you to succeed.
They do. But they'll also like throw a symbol at your head.
Yeah.
It's a big, it's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor. But yeah, I don't know. You're also doing stuff with Symphony 21.
I am.
So you're like, your degree has transferred, I guess, into Symphony 21 because you're planning and then you're also playing now.
Yeah.
In the Star Wars concert.
Yeah. So it kind of works out. It's like the whole music business thing, but like a super different side of it where it's like organizing concerts, production, like all that. So yeah. I'm like putting together this big Star Wars concert, May 6th, Chan Center. You should be there.
Chan Center.
And at the same time, I'm also like going to be playing. So it's cool.
That's awesome. So do you think it will be stressful? Do you think you'll be like backstage, like running around, like, and then like you go on stage and you like play like the perfect trumpet solo and then you come back and you're like,
whoa, that's like,
maybe not.
It's like, you know, my life. You've been there.
Let's play this next song because you have Shadowland by Baby Fuzz on the playlist and you said they opened for you at this closed down venue.
Yeah. So Baby Fuzz is a one-man band, and Girls Nails played with them on like this three-band bill at a place called the Avant Garden. Pretty sure it's gone now. But there's two songs by Baby Fuzz coming up, and he sings like post-apocalyptic pop punk, super honest, super
love
funny.
That.
It's great.
I love anything post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Like,
it's my preferred genre.
Yeah, honestly. Okay, well, let's listen to this. And we'll be back. I keep saying that. I'm like, we'll be back. But this is Shadowland.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Calling Nicholas. Said it with a shrug. Radio Jesus. He's out there in the run. You can go blind, staring at the sun, hearing Shadowland. In Shadowland, I went to Elysium, fell asleep at the wheel. Woke up and the streets were filled. That shit was getting real. Are you uneasy with this? Tell me, how do you feel? Hearing Shadowland. So I heard you made new music Friday. Well, congrats from a truck stop somewhere out on the highway. I'm out here this summer chasing down dreams, watching the review and eating baked beans. You could say that I'm doing things my way, but it seems like for years now my life has gone sideways. Scream in the mic and offset the carbon and I oxidize, cause I'm trying my freaking best. Says I'm in midlife crisis. That Reddit thread's dead, left to my own devices. I'm not making music, I'm making new friends. And all likely I never see them again. Cause I'm lonely and lost and fucked up in the head. But I'm trying. So I'll stand on a stage in Mobile, Alabama, the heart beating out of my chest. Cause baby, I'm trying, trying. Yes, I'm trying. I'm trying.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Where do you go to cry? Where do you go to scream? Where do you go to sing at the top of your lungs and play instruments and be free? You can join UBC Cry Club. UBC Cry Club provides instruments in a judgment-free zone for people to let loose and be free using music as therapy. UBC Cry Club meets at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays at the Fraser River Parkade. For more information, go to M01E on Instagram.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. Today's episode on Operation Radio Bug is about graduating from School of Music, kind of. I feel like that segment is now over. And now we are going to talk about the indie music scene in Vancouver, kind of.
Sure, yeah.
I guess indie music, punk, pop punk. Wait. Is this, what is indie music even? I don't know. I feel like that we play a lot of indie music here at the CITR, but I don't even know what that means, to be honest.
Indie music, I feel, okay, once upon a time, I feel like indie music meant independently managed. Now, I feel like this term has been co-opted into like a genre, like
yes,
pop
it's
music,
a vibe now.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like what's popular. Anyway, that's my thesis.
Okay, yeah. I like that. Would you say Girls Nails is indie or...
Ooh.
What genre?
Like I would say Girls Nails is indie, like math rock, like alternative. I don't know if all the members of Girls Nails would agree with me.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first from Erica from Girls Nails that the genre is math rock. I love math rock.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I feel like math rock is a very popular genre for music students. Like,
yes. Yeah, I feel like it's more fun to listen to if you think about music in like the most annoying way.
Yeah. Literally, like, I need to figure out like this progression.
But actually, like, what's the meter?
Yeah, what meter is this?
This is like my biggest character flaw and also my hobby.
When people like test me on the like meter of a song, I actually start to panic. I'm like, I should know this. But yeah, so you have a story, I believe, about this next band, Fell Runner. But let's listen to one of their tracks first on your playlist. This is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
And is this your favorite track?
This is an epic song, yeah. This is my favorite track from this album. It takes you on a journey.
Cool. Well, this is Jeffrey by Fell Runner.
This is a song about my friend named Jeff who wants to
astronaut. He likes to lay out on the hood of his car and stare at the stars from the parking lot. And if you ask him what he's seeing, he will tell you that he's just trying to wrap his mind around how insignificant he really is, and that he likes the way it makes him feel. But in his heart he wants to fly, and in his mind he is determined to. And when Jeffrey was just a little boy, the only toys that he would play with were his spaceships. Oh, and how he loved them so very, very much. Into his eyes, you can see the infinite night sky, and every sun and every moon orbiting around the pupil. So when it comes time to say goodbye, I'll look into his night sky eyes and say, oh Jeffrey, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Please hold tight, because no one can know about the night. There might be something scary or something frightening. Just be on the lookout, okay? And Jeffrey, as you float around up there, don't forget about the ones who care. The ones who will go out every night and look up at the stars so bright and think to themselves, that's my Jeffrey.
Jeff. You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. And if you're listening right now, this is the band Fell Runner. We just listened to Jeffrey, and now we're on the track Come Home. But I'm here with my friend Erica, and you know this band. You have a story about this band.
I do have a story about this band.
Right, let's hear it.
This is like a small story. If you're excited about this story, just take it down a notch. It's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint.
Don't hype it up. Don't hype it up.
I'll go forward with it anyway. We're this far into it. So my band, Girls Nails, was supposed to open for Fell Runner like a couple years ago at this venue. Honestly, I don't even think it had a name. It was just this like warehouse on Princess Ave in like the downtown east side. It was cool. There was like a bunch of other stuff going on in there.
Okay.
There was like a table that was like upside down. That was the bar. Anyway.
Okay.
It's like
upside down.
Yeah.
Wait.
It was like a structure.
And that was the bar?
Yeah.
Wild. Okay.
I know. I remember it in fragments.
<Like shift. laughs> Okay.
So it was like a Thursday night. So the only people at this gig were the other bands. And everyone was very excited for Fell Runner. But they just like didn't show up for a super long time, and it was kind of awkward, and so there was no seating, just like a couch. We just took turns like playing on the stage or sitting on the couch, and then eventually after like hours, Fell Runner shows up, and it turns out they got stopped at the border because they had like a single joint in their van.
Oh dang.
I know.
Where were they coming from?
Such a bummer for them. Somewhere on the West Coast. They're either from Washington or California or something.
Wait, but just a singular joint?
Like, literally one. Like, talking
to
the glove
box. They got stopped for that?
I know.
I feel like it's legal, right?
This was a while ago, but I don't know, man.
Dang.
Yeah, it really, really ruined my Thursday.
Yeah. Wait, but they made it.
They made it, and they played, and they blew everyone's minds. Like,
wow.
They're so good live. They sound exactly like this. I think they were disappointed because it was a tiny crowd, but yeah, it was a great night.
Well, they came all that way.
They did.
They made it.
They made it even in their drug-infested van.
Wow, crazy. You know, like, I wonder what went down. Like, the security was like, what's this?
Yeah, I don't know what that was like.
That's crazy that they still came and played the show, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is Come Home by Fell Runner.
So come home and be with your man. 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 See you one more time with you.
the flashing lights threw up on you. How we screamed out in the yard, coughed up our last exhaust fumes, and when you turn around and said you're heading off, that this is too long overdue. Well, it took everything I had to never say I love you, and if you have to go, then leave some outlooks at home. I'm singing streets, the lights of spring, and coming back alone.
You're listening to Rites of Spring by Tiger Lily on the CITR 101.9 FM, and my friend Erica picked out this piece, and I was just asking you what your opinion was on the Rite of Spring that you are probably more familiar with in playing in the orchestra as an orchestral
The
Rite
of Spring, yes, by our friend Stravinsky. I also love how you said piece, such...
Oh,
wow. Yeah, very music school of you. Very on brand.
Trying to break free.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think different people have different takes on the Rite of Spring. I appreciate it for like the little unicorn of music that it is. It's very different.
Yeah.
Do I walk around listening to it casually? Absolutely not.
Scary.
Yeah. It would put me in a weird mood, but I think it's special.
Yeah. I guess... The dancing is cool, though. Like, I feel like I would, if I was, like, in ballet and they programmed that and I had to do the dance for it, I would be, I don't know if I would like it, honestly. Like, as a ballet dancer, I don't know if I would be a fan. I don't know.
There's, like,
it's
this...
breaking boundaries.
It truly is. It's defying expectations.
Yeah.
There's this, like, new wave Russian dance theater, and they did this crazy interpretation where they had, like, different costumes and like this super scary face paint, and they're like flip-flopping around, they're all like dressed like dolls. For anyone who doesn't know what the Rite of Spring is, you're just going to be confused until we move on.
Watch the Berlin Philharmonic.
Yeah,
they have it on YouTube.
Yeah, Berlin Phil,
watch their rendition.
Also highly recommend the interpretive modernist Russian rendition if you can find it.
If you is it hard to find?
I don't know if they have the
I'm
whole thing
on
YouTube.
Where I saw it, like YouTube.
Yeah.
Medici TV, something. but yeah, I don't know. I've never seen a ballet. Side note, choreography that I also really like is from Debussy's Joux.
Okay.
It's like, I think I had to do a project on that for something in my undergrad. And Nijinsky, I don't know if that's how you say his last name.
Choreographer, yeah.
He did the choreography, and it's so good. It's like tennis themed, but it's also like really weird. The choreography is like really weird. But yeah, that was Rites of Spring, and you chose that specifically because of the Rite of Spring?
Two things. The name Rites of Spring, beautiful tie-in to our topic, which is sort of music school. And then also the lead singer with the sweet vocals on that track is the bassist in my band, Girls Nails. I'll shout them out one more time. And yeah, I think it's really cool that a lot of the folks in like the local Vancouver band scene are in a bunch of different groups.
Yeah.
They all cross over. It's like a little community. So,
crazy.
Yeah, I think their stuff is really great. We should check them out. Tiger Lily.
And, next is Girls Nails.
Yes.
I'm so excited. But, yeah, are all of these bands local Vancouver?
They're not all local. Most of them are West Coast. But the main theme with this playlist is folks who did some sort of classical training or play classical instruments, but then, like, went off to do something else with it.
Cool.
Kind of like us.
math rock people. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know.
That's where math rock comes from, is like traumatized music.
Yeah, no, yeah. Honestly, like me like practicing the same thing like 5 million times and like losing my mind. But this is Tapioca Tadpole by Girls Nails.
Thank you.
You're back on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. We're on UBC campus. Speaking of UBC campus, Eric and I have both graduated now from the School of Music, UBC School of Music. You have also graduated from Sauder School of Business.
Sure. Is that have.
What do you call it? Like Sauder.
Yeah. Yes, Sauder.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, now that we've graduated, we're moving on. We're moving forth.
We're spreading our wings.
We're spreading our wings and joining the underground music indie scene of Vancouver.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on the music scene in Vancouver?
I think it's what a good question.
Is that
Bailey?
Too deep? Is that too like? Is that too much?
No, that's a good place to go.
If you also, want, I can go first. But I think no.
I'll take it away.
Okay.
But I mean, your grad is so fresh. So congratulations to Bailey.
It's really fresh.
It's been like 24 hours.
It's literally been like, like I'm taking a deep breath out.
Yes.
But yeah, it's fresh. Mm-hmm. The grad ceremony will be cool, mm-hmm. I guess. I have to play for like all the grad ceremonies. I thought I was free, and then they're like, "Yo, we need a saxophonist to pull it out."
Music
like, I guess
school,
I'll do it.
It just pulls you right back in.
Pulls you
it's
right back
truly
in.
Truly a pit. But anyway, the music scene in Vancouver, it's weird. There's like a bunch of different levels, you know?
Because we're both from Alberta.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. So there's like this indie band thing going on. Bunch of like super scrappy artists. A couple kind of make it out, but I think most of them just kind of play the same venues. It's like the same group of people. Then like there's this whole classical thing,
yeah,
that we know about. I don't know if many people do. It's like, yeah, same. It's like a total like echo chamber, really small group of people, really tiny world.
So many mutuals.
Yeah, truly.
I'm pretty sure right now I'm doing some VSO like teaching clinics, I guess for like kids. And that's an interesting experience. I don't know. Like, because it's cool because I feel like I'm meeting all the people that are going to be playing the Ratatouille concert.
Okay.
At the Orpheum. Because they're playing, you know how they do the movies?
Yes.
And then the live music?
I did not know they were doing Ratatouille.
They're doing Ratatouille.
That is such a good choice.
And so I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm a fangirl of like the VSO, but then also like I guess I'm a fan of like a lot of the indie bands that like Girls Nails and like all the bands that play here around the CITR. So it's cool. You get like best of both worlds as a classical and alternative.
Yeah. But, it's cool to do both. I sometimes wish I like didn't go to music school though when I meet some of these like super talented folks that like A, like didn't have to go through all that,
yeah,
and B, they're like so much more creative,
yeah,
because no one ever told them that they're doing like, it wrong anyway. I feel like this is so sad.
That's
music
so
school
true.
Is great, but
it's great if you really want to like I don't know hone in on specific skills,
yeah,
on like one specific instrument. But yeah, I feel like all the skills, it's also very like Western classical based, and that's it. Like I remember when I took all my music history courses in my undergrad, they always prefaced it like, this is Western classical and that's it. And I'm like, oh, but what about like all the world music? But I think UBC's trying to have more world music offered.
They're definitely trying to turn it around, but can we talk about that? Like,
no, I honestly I think it should be talked about.
Yeah, classical music is like this whole umbrella.
Yeah.
And I think people like to believe it's a lot more expansive than it is. But the problem is that we use this huge term to describe a super narrow thing.
Yeah, like Eurocentric. Like it's.
Yeah.
And for me, the issue I feel like comes in, at least for me, when we get to like the unit of like American music, mm-hmm. which has so many influences that aren't European, I'm like, why are we only talking about this from like the European lens? I'm like, there's so many perspectives that should be talked about that just aren't. Like for me, it's like Black music in America, like African-American music isn't necessarily, I don't know, drawing from European sources all the time. But then I feel like European Eurocentric music kind of like takes from that, and then it's like Western classical, but then I don't know.
Yeah, it's like that's the only lens that we ever talk about, like non-Eurocentric music, is when we talk about it being influenced.
Yeah.
Like we're like, oh, this culture is relevant because it had an impact on Western classical music.
Yeah.
Not because it's like independently relevant.
Yeah. And I love, okay, so I love Claude Debussy and like his music is beautiful. It's great. But I feel like he has so much inspiration from the gamelan. What do you, gamelan?
Like the Balinese gamelan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he would always go like to the world expos in Europe and he would like go see like all these cultural things and then he just put it into his music and then I feel like he's praised for it. But it's always like, you know, when you play something that's like influenced by like Asian music, it's like, oh, it sounds like Debussy. And it's like, well, I don't know. He's like a European composer.
Yeah, maybe Debussy kind of, it sounds like.
So, but it's not that I don't play. Like, I still listen to Claude Debussy, but I just feel like when we learn about him in history, it's always like his innovations in music. And like, he was special because he did this, but it's like, why can't we talk about his sources of inspiration?
Totally. And when I feel like learning about classical music, whether it's like theory or history, it always travels in this cycle of like someone made a bunch of rules, everyone followed them, here's the person who followed them the best,
yeah,
and then in the next generation it's like here's the person who broke those rules, and then it just all happens all over again.
Yeah.
And it's like all of this is fake.
What era are we in right now? Are we in the like breaking? I feel like we're in the like conformity era again.
I honestly agree. I feel like we're making the rules again.
Yeah. And, then, and it's like.
Yeah. I'm so glad we agree
so,
on this.
So I don't know. I tried to do some improvisation in my recital, like just like free improvisation.
Cool.
I was so scared. And I guess I can tell this story on air really quick. Yeah, I gave the score. I was playing an Anthony Braxton piece.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how you have to give the score to the adjudicator because they need the music, I guess, to like
make sure you're doing it
make
right.
Make sure you're doing it right. They need the music. But the whole point of this one piece I was playing was like, you're supposed to listen to the music, not like be caught up with what's on the page.
Okay.
And the performer is like improvising. So you're not supposed to use the music, but it's there as a guide.
Right.
But you're supposed to break free from the music. And so I gave my adjudicator the score that had the like squiggly lines on it rather than like the notated notes, because the squiggly lines are just supposed to help guide the performer. But again, you're not supposed to do the notes. You're supposed to like improvise. Like you can't play the notes, but it's a guide. So I gave him the score with the squiggly lines. And afterwards, I'm pretty sure my teacher was like, oh, like he did not interpret the score. So I don't think he's going to give you comments. And I was like, what? You heard the piece. You heard me play. I feel like you can give comment on that, but
yeah,
that's some tea. Not that it was like a whole thing.